Hi, everybody. Welcome to What I Listen To This Week. We're back again for another episode. We have a full contingent of panelists this week, which is great. We have myself, Melanie, Sergio, Eric, and Anthony has joined us again. So we're excited to get four folks in and listen to some music today. So we're just going to jump right into it. We do have an icebreaker, as we always do. This week's icebreaker is, what was the first album you purchased or was gifted to you? What was like your first recollection of an album that was yours? I always start, so I'm going to throw it to Sergio.
The first album that I purchased was Linkin Park.
Nice.
Meteora.
Cool.
Rip, I believe.
Rip, yes. Chester.
In 2003.
Cool.
I don't remember. This is Eric. Hi. I don't remember the first album that I actually bought or was gifted to me, so I'm just going to make something up. I think it might have been Jeff Beck Truth, which is still one of my favorite albums.
Cool.
Nice.
Nice.
So my first two albums were for my, I believe, 11th birthday. And it was REO Speedwagon and Styx Paradise Theater.
Nice. Cool. Mine were, it was either Jewel, Pieces of You, or a Sheryl Crow album, and I don't remember which one it was. It was either that or Britney Spears' first album, but I'm pretty sure it was the Jewel one. But they were cassette tapes. So, I don't know, early 90s-ish. Alrighty. Cool. Let's listen to some music. Sergio, who do you have queued up first?
I still need Eric's song. Oh. What is the song? Maybe we'll start you off.
Yeah.
It's number one. What is the song that you're...
Let's do Eric B. and Rakim, Don't Sweat the Technique.
Okay. That's it?
Yeah.
Don't Sweat the Technique by Eric B. and Rakim.
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 Yeah.
All right. I will play that right now.
Don't sweat the technique. Don't sweat the technique. Now it'll take a while. I change the pace to complete the beat. I drop the bass to MCs get weak. For every road they trace is a scar they keep. It's when I speak, they freak to sweat the technique. I made my debut in 86 with a melody and a president's mix. And now I stay on target and refuse to miss. And I still make hits for beats, parties, clubs, and cars and jeeps. My underground sound vibrates the streets. MCs wanna beef, then I play for keeps. When they sweat the technique. Don't sweat the technique. They wanna know how many bombs have I ripped and wrecked, but researchers never found all the pieces yet. Scientists try to solve the context. Philosophers are wondering what's next. Pieces took the lab to observe them. They couldn't absorb them. They didn't deserve them. My ideas are only for the audience ears. My opponents, it might take years. Pencils, pens, and swords. Put together from a key to cause. I'm also a sculpture, born with structure. Because of my culture, I'm a perfect instructor. Technical style that'll be full of technology. Complete sights and new heights after I get deep. You don't have to speak, just see and peep the technique. But don't sweat the technique. Get deep and the beat, think complete, bold with the scene, never weak or obsolete. They never grow old techniques, become antiques, better than something brand new, cause it's original in a wild style. I have much
and ideas. It's cool when you freak to the beat. Well, don't sweat the technique. Don't sweat the technique. Don't sweat the technique.
And that was Don't Sweat the Technique by Eric B. and Rakim.
Well, New York rappers out of Long Island, late 80s, early 90s, nobody's been like them. They really have the direct relationship to jazz that most rappers don't have, and sort of a link to groups like The Last Poets and Gil Scott-Heron and Brian Jackson, and guys that were doing stuff on sort of another level than, you know, let's dance, let's party, let's have fun. But it's a lot of bragging. but it's clean. I mean, you know, there's no cursing. It's just, I think, really sort of high-level stuff, and nobody's been like them since. So that's what I say about Eric B. and Rakim. I like them a lot. I listen to them more than probably any other rap.
I love the bass. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun. Yeah, you could definitely tell like the jazz influence or something like that for sure.
Yeah.
And the, it, I mean, is that a saxophone? What would that be? What is that horn? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you can definitely tell that influence. Yeah, that was just, it was like a classic for me. Like, I just think of, like dance class in the early 90s, like when I was a kid. Like, it's just something that we would put on. Yeah, I love it. It's sort of like memories from younger years, I guess. So it has that kind of vibe to it. And yeah, I agree with Sergio. Like, the bass line, the saxophone, that jazz influence is cool and sort of unique and, yeah, something that you can really, like, move to.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I think this is a good example of where rap fusing with other genres has really propelled music in general. I think this is a good example of it. I think there's a lot of rap fusion that does not do that.
Old Town Road.
I don't know. I can't think of any examples, but I take your word for it. But yeah, there's sometimes it doesn't hit the mark. And but this one was good. I liked it.
When did this come out?
This came out in, I think, 1988. So sort of the height of the MTV era, but, and they have a video that goes with it that's just horrible.
I want to see that
video. Yeah, no, right.
But yeah, late 80s, they were a big influence on Wu-Tang Clan.
Okay.
You know, they were big stars then, and Rakim is still doing it. He's still out there, and I don't know what happened to Eric B. But anyway, there it is.
Awesome.
Were you listening to them at all this week, like in particular, for any particular reason, or were you just like, this? I'm always listening to this. So.
No, it was more like I don't want to be depressed about David Crosby and Jeff Beck, because those are a couple of guys who I really loved. I mean, I get to see David Crosby when he was with Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. So I've been listening to a lot of Jeff Beck, and these guys just, this duo just sort of brings me up whenever I listen to them.
Yeah. Yeah, for just for when we're recording this, for reference, everybody, Jeff Beck and David Crosby just recently passed away. 2 weeks ago?
Last week, I think.
Last week? Last week, yeah.
Sad day.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a rough week for music.
Any other thoughts, comments? Yeah. Cool.
Good choice. Love it, Eric.
Well, up next is a song called Fear for Nobody by Maneskin.
Maneskin. Yeah. So that's Maneskin. It's an Italian band, actually. And they won the 2017 Eurovision contest. Not for that song, but for a different song. And the reason why I picked it is I was reading an article in The Atlantic about them and how people have been kind of pushing them to be sort of the new sound for rock and roll. And then the article went on to trash their new album.
Yikes.
Yeah. As banal and repetitive. So I decided to try to find something from their earlier albums. And this is like two albums back. And I remember hearing it on the radio and enjoying it and thought it had a nice hook to it. Nice building of different sounds. And so I thought it was an interesting song.
Yeah, I think I saw them on SNL. I think they performed on SNL maybe a year ago.
Not too long ago.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't too long ago. I hadn't heard of them before that. But that song in particular actually reminds me a little bit of Maroon 5.
Yeah.
I got Maroon 5 vibes from there. Like the voice was not quite like the Adam Levine falsetto, but so sort of similar musical style. I wonder, was there any like other sort of interesting points in the Atlantic article? I don't really know much about them other than like a few songs here and there.
The guy was saying that was like questioning, so why are these guys famous if their music is really isn't that interesting or that important? Okay. Mm-hmm. And it's apparently because of their videos. And that the author's point was that in this day and age when basically anyone can bring music to the table, it's very specialized and very niche. And the way you get into the popular stream is by having interesting video content on YouTube or TikTok or whatever. And that is what seems to be more of the driver than the actual music content.
Interesting. Yeah, because that song wasn't like musically interesting. I sound like the Atlantic article now. But I mean, like there's not a lot to it, right? It has a really good hook. It has a good driving beat. It has like a pretty good riff. But like, I mean, that's what you need to make a hit. Like it doesn't have to be any more complicated than that. I would definitely think of it more as like poppy than like rock or rock and roll. But
yeah, I think they were spinning it as rock and roll because there's a lot more emphasis on the guitar.
Yeah. Okay. Mm. Yeah. This would be one of those songs that's like on a guilty pleasure playlist, I think, where I'd be like, yeah, I could listen to this like while I was like, you know, if I need like something pumped up in my headphones kind of a thing. But yeah. I was going to say, I don't really know much. I think I know like I've heard one other song by them. So it's hard to, you know, make a full judgment, but yeah. Go ahead, Sergio.
You said they were Italian?
Yeah. And they have a good portion of their collection is in Italian.
Interesting. Oh, wow.
But their last album is apparently all English.
Yeah, I think when I looked at the cover art or the album art, I was like, oh, this might be death metal or something. And then I was pleasantly surprised. It's like, oh, it sounds like Maroon 5. Okay. Yeah. Where are we going, Anthony?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, Jamiroquai is another one it reminds me of.
Huh.
Oh, yeah. Hmm. I guess I could see that.
But yeah, it was fun. Yeah. It's just kind of like poppy and
yeah.
I would listen to it.
Whatever.
Again.
It's fun. Just like, that's it.
It's like whipped cream.
Well, I thought it was okay. I've seen them perform and they're great performers.
Yes, that was the other thing he made the point of, the author. Yeah.
You've seen them perform live?
No, I saw them on Saturday Night.
Yeah.
And something else because they're Eurovision contest winners, mm-hmm. so they do get some space for that. So I think they popped up in my YouTube feed somehow.
Hmm.
And they were interesting enough to watch a couple of times.
Yeah.
And then you want to move on.
Yeah.
I get it. You guys are doing what you do, and it looks cool.
When you talked about Eurovision, I remember, what's that movie on Netflix with Will? Gosh. Is it Will Ferrell?
Yeah.
Oh, about ABBA?
No, it's about like a spoof off of like Eurovision. Like they're wanting to come up with a band to perform in Eurovision or something like that.
Yeah.
Can't remember the name of it.
Anyway.
Yeah.
But I saw that too. It was funny. It was good.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I can imagine this band in there.
Wasn't it called Eurovision?
It might be.
Yeah. Yes. Maybe.
Yeah, I think it might have just been called Eurovision. But yeah, like I don't really have, as an American, like who doesn't, I don't know. I feel like I don't really have a concept of Eurovision too much. I don't like follow it. I've seen the movie and I sort of know about it, but when you said that they were Eurovision winners, I was like, oh, yeah, I could totally see that. I mean, they put on a great show. They have a lot of energy. It's like poppy. It's driving music. It's catchy. It tracks. It makes sense. Yeah.
Cool. Any other comments or thoughts?
I would just say that when you think of Eurovision, it's like an international battle of the bands.
Mm-hmm.
And so the bigger and glossier and sort of more elaborate that you can be, you know, seems those bands get more traction.
Yeah.
Whether they're musically valid or not.
Hmm.
Mm. And these guys are, you know, they're good looking, sort of androgynous young people. And
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, they look good. Mm-hmm.
I hope rock and roll doesn't go like this or this direction.
But, you know, it's been this way since the Monkees, who are another sort of, you know, the first created band, made for TV band. Mm-hmm. It's just every once in a while, you know, Milli Vanilli, another.
Hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there are a bunch of these guys. Or most of K-pop.
Hmm.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm, we need K-pop next episode. K-pop, K-pop only.
Episode.
I know more about K-pop than I care to admit.
Well, thanks.
Cool.
Anthony, for bringing that
song. Yeah, thanks.
Did you have, were you going to add something?
No, I was just trying to look up the movie name.
Oh. All right. Next song is called Let's Have a Satanic Orgy by Twin Temple. Yeah.
Deep in the forest, it's dead of night. The full moon is the only light. The magic circle of you start to sway. All the pretty witches have been out to play. Come to the Sabbath, take a ride on my broom, make it under the moon. Maybe we'll make love to you. Under my spell, come to the Sabbath with me. Let's have a satanic orgy. Rhythm's got you dripping blood and sweat. You feel your heart pounding in your chest. Flames go high. The pitch, you've never been up to, you've been up to a bitch. Come to the Sabbath, take her out of my room. We're naked under the moon. Maybe I'll make love to you. Come to the Sabbath, go down on demons from hell. Under my spell, come to the Sabbath with me. Let's have a satanic orgy. You don't like the taste of blood? Come to the side. Under my spell.
That was yours, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was mine, yes. That was Let's Have a Satanic Orgy by Twin Temple. So I found out about this band because one of their songs came up on my Discover Weekly. Not this song. It was called Babylon. And I enjoyed it. And then I was like, who's this group? So I went into Spotify and learned about them and read this description, which I printed out. I won't read all of it, but just some parts. So Twin Temple is pioneering the satanic doo-wop genre.
Oh, my God.
And Twin Temple combines occult aesthetics with classic 1950s and 60s rock and roll. Although you may hear heavy guitar riffs and a thumping bass to accompany cries of Hail Satan, instead you'll hear old-school classic riffs and Alexandra's crooning voice that sounds straight out of the 60s. While many confine Satan to the likes of black metal, the duo is breaking the notion that Satan has a musical type. Inspired by the golden era of rock and roll, Twin Temple rejects conformity of any kind, whether it's through their magic, performance, or sound. Nice. So then this actually was one of their more recent songs. It came out last year, but I spent all of last week listening to their first album, which came out in 2018. So it's a duo, and it's wonderful. So I just had to choose a song.
Amazing. So there's so many things. What was it? Satanic doo-wop?
Yep.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. I love that subgenre. It's my new favorite subgenre. I was going to say, I was like, this sounds a lot like Buddy Holly music, which I feel like Sergio was listening to last week. So did you find them probably because you were listening to a lot of like 50s and 60s stuff?
Yeah, I'm guessing that's started listening to Buddy Holly and then it was like serving this up.
Yeah, that's so great. I got those retro vibes because it sounds like, I mean, it's a song that came out recently, but it sounds like, I mean, they even have like the aesthetic to make it sound like it was recorded, but I don't know what that is, but it sounds like it was recorded, you know, in the 50s. It sort of has that like, I don't know, old fuzzy, lo-fi kind of feel to it, yeah. I guess. I thought it was great. I loved it. Good beat, good sound, has that classic beat to it, and then the lyrics are great.
There is also a music video.
Oh.
Quite graphic.
Yeah, that makes sense.
If you want to watch it, go ahead. They also made a Spanish version of the song, which is also pretty interesting.
That's cool.
Yeah. When I was listening to it, I was thinking Brazilian lounge. That's the kind of the genre that came up.
In hell.
It's hot down there, yeah. It also reminded me of this other group from San Francisco where they do kind of retro loungy sounds with a theremin. I can't remember their name. It was interesting. It would be good. That would be good background music for a Halloween party, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say it's definitely going on my Halloween playlist for sure.
It was a cha-cha.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that made it cool just right there. And then that sort of weird lo-fi production, like it was recorded in a space that was too big and she's singing up front. In the lyrics, it was exceptional.
I like how she, at the end, instead of saying cha-cha-cha, she says sex, sex, sex.
Oh, it's actually 666.
Oh, it's 666. Yeah. 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 So great.
I mean, I can imagine dancing to it. Party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Like this kind of dancing.
Worshipping Satan.
Yeah, worshipping Satan at the same time.
Well, yeah, if you enjoyed this, I would recommend going to check out their 2018 album. It's really good. Yeah. And it has more of like, you know, the satanic kind of like doo-wop stuff.
Yeah.
Which is fun.
Interesting. So. I love that satanic doo-wop. Like what a niche, cool subgenre. It's really neat. I like that their point of view is like, yeah, the devil doesn't need to only listen to death metal or metal or whatever.
The devil probably listens to like Lawrence Welk.
Yeah, I was going to say like Linda Ronstadt. Project Pimento. That's the band I was trying to think of.
Project Pimento. All right. Well, is there any other
thoughts? No, good one, Sergio. I like it.
The last song is Drive Me Crazy by Lil Yachty.
Rarely ever missing, talk is cheap and time is ticking. Rarely ever tricking, catch me slipping, that pussy was leaking. All my missions, paying millions, I'm Ted DiBiase. I lay night on sin, still a Christian, I'll tell my deacon. I'm in past, I'm talking pastor. Around 6-7 bitches with no tent, you can see I'm pimping. Big 4-5 my hip, like I'm limping, never simping. When my cousin's crippin', always gripping, shit get dangerous. Always keep it playable, swallow our hoes, I'm never tripping. I love my mother, my sister, my daughter. All these hoes get slaughtered, can't mind, pray to all the father.
Yeah, so this is off of his new album that just came out, I think, very recently. But I listened to this. Actually, I had a coworker send me a different song off this album last week and was like, hey, check this out. It's really good. I was expecting it to be something complete. She was like, I was expecting this to be something completely different. And I was like, oh, okay. So I listened to it. And I actually listened to the whole album all the way through, and it's very, it like has some very strong like 60s and 70s vibes to it. I mean, this one's kind of like at the beginning, it's very like disco-y. But there's moments of this album that remind me a lot of Pink Floyd albums, like the sort of the music backing it, and then also just sort of the way, there's a couple of other tracks on here that remind me of that. There's sort of this like psychedelic element to it. There's this like R&B element to it. There's songs that are sort of disco-y, like that one. And yeah, it's just, it's really interesting. And they all, like the songs are pretty unique in and of themselves, but they all kind of like fit together when you listen to the whole album. But yeah, I don't know a ton by this artist. Like I listened to a few songs here and there, but like not like well versed in the full discography. But Lil Yachty's known for a subgenre of rap called bubblegum trap, which is like has sort of this kind of like fun and playful, almost like cartoonish kind of aspect to it. But then it's also trap, so it's got like the drum and the bass, and then also usually like R-rated lyrics too. So it's sort of this weird like dichotomy of sort of like bubblegum, but also, you know, R-rated lyrics. Yeah, I don't know. I just thought it was really interesting. I think I was trying to look up the name of the singer who sings like the first half of the song. I think her name is Diana Gordon. But I could be wrong, and please leave a comment if I'm incorrect about that. but I think that's who it is. Okay, that's it.
It sounded to me like I could hear the 70s in it, like Brothers Johnson, maybe some Earth, Wind, and Fire. Mm-hmm. Definitely sort of West Coast production sound, and I liked sort of the expansiveness of it. It was interesting. I'd listen to more of him.
Yeah. Interesting is a good word for it.
I kind of felt like hypnotized by like all the sounds. I was like, whoa. But this wasn't really, yeah, not really bubblegum trap. Mm-mm. At all, which is interesting that he did a kind of different genre.
Yeah, the reading, I did a little bit of reading on this album, and the general consensus is that it's like very different from his usual stuff. So
I can picture hearing this song walking into a dimly lit lounge with velvet couches.
Opium den?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
In Brazil or not Brazil?
it could be Denver, actually. it's groovy. I like it. I would definitely want to check it out and see if there's something that would work for the Daily Encounter playlist.
Yeah, I don't know if there's any clean, fully clean.
We'll have to look.
There might be. Yeah. But yeah, if you like this, I definitely recommend the whole album. I listened to it the other day while I was just like putzing around the house, just put it on my headphones, and it was good to listen.
What's
to.
The album name?
Let's Start Here, I think.
Okay.
I think that's what it's called. Let me confirm that.
I generally stay away from any album where the artist starts with Lil.
I think this guy, he was friends with that other Lil that died recently, that was like a teenager in his 20s not too long ago. He was also big on like TikTok, and like I think that's kind of where the trend started with maybe bubblegum trap. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's like the artist. Like when you look in Urban Dictionary at bubblegum trap, like it's him. I think I feel like he has some association with Drake. Huh. Maybe. Like maybe he was on, like maybe, I don't know if Drake has like a podcast or a something, but like Drake plugged him in some way. I think there's some connection there. But yeah, I don't know like too much. It's literally what I listened to this week, and just trying to dive into it a little bit more. It's interesting.
Oh, it was Lil Pump.
Oh, I don't know
if you guys know about Lil Pump.
And what happened to Lil Pump?
Oh,
he got pumped.
He died a little too early. I think after.
Yeah, I think overdosing. I think I remember seeing that. Yeah, yeah, somewhere.
That's not funny, but it is hilarious.
He did that song Gucci Gang. You ever hear that? No. Never heard of Gucci Gang?
No.
But I'll look it up now.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
All right.
Cool. Great music this time. They were all good.
Yeah, good ones.
Thanks.
Hey, and all. Like two rap songs this time.
I know. We went from no rap to a lot of rap.
Yeah.
I know, right? Cool. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Don't forget, if you have suggestions for things you want us to listen to or complaints, or you want to call us out for talking out of our butts, leave a comment. You can also catch replays of this on LPMX, which is Longmont Public Media's radio station. So you can catch replays during the week, I think Tuesdays and Thursday evenings. But yeah, make sure you reach out to us. Let us know what you think. Yeah, I think that's it. Thanks for listening, everyone.